All right. Okay, we're gonna go a little different direction. I think we're done with naming and mapping the powers. Maybe not, we'll see. This is 11/8/23, Wednesday evening. We're gonna look at Christ ambassadors today. What is an ambassador? It's someone that's been sent. As Christians, we were in the Assembly of God Church, and the youth group were called Christ Ambassadors, and the boys were Rural Rangers, and the girls were missionettes. I'm going, isn't that what this is about? We have a mission, And I've tried to find the words to it, but I couldn't find the words to it. But we're all Christ ambassadors. We are sent to do something. That's why we're here. So we represent Jesus. And how do we do that? Let's take a look at how Jesus represented himself. Let's go to Matthew 11:29. He says here, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." The word there, meek, means gentle or humble. He was not there to toot his own horn. Not at all. He was an ambassador from heaven to show people the Father and the kingdom of God. He was meek, and he said, "Blessed are the meek." This is one of his first sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And this is really amazing what it says. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I'm thinking, wow. The meek shall inherit the earth. Not the proud, not the strong, but the meek. Kind of interesting. That means mild and humble. As you well know, Jesus did not have his own agenda. He did not just say anything, but he would come upon a situation, he would hear the words of the Father, and the Father would tell him what to speak, and he did what the Father said. So he humbled himself. It says he humbled himself even to go to the cross, to suffer death on the cross. But he humbled himself and said, "I'm not independent. I'm here on a mission, and I'm going to do what the Father requires of me, my mission. I'm going to complete my mission." That's what he did. Okay, let's look at a couple more scriptures. Matthew 2:15. I think I wrote that down wrong. Let me look at Mark. Hey, it has to have at least once, right? Let me see here. Well, I don't know. Let's just try 15. Or 2, 12, 15. Oh, in this instance here, this is 12:15. We see here, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. He healed them all." And there's another place where they were going to come and make him king. He withdrew. We see here, he was meek and lowly, he would not promote himself. And he ran from anything or anybody trying to do that. Okay, now go to 1 Peter 3:4. Let me mark that, make sure I got that. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now he's talking about women here, but I don't think it's just women that this meekness is required. I know we can get impatient with people, you know, and I think, Lord, help us not to be impatient, because we were there where they are at some point in our life. And we want patience when we're lagging behind, don't we, or whatever. We want patience. So the best way to, you know, if you want patience, you got to sow patience, right? That kind of goes along with meekness, all right? Jesus had feelings. He was a man. And I know he went through things, but it didn't reflect in his life. He didn't have his own agenda. He didn't let his feelings get in the way. The only thing he was after was Father's assignment, right? Okay. It takes humility to not be intrusive towards some people. But if we are in their face and overwhelm them, we could lose them and do more harm than good. This might be the only opportunity we have, so we must humble ourselves and hear what the Spirit has to say about the encounters we have with people. Because you know what? If you get upset at them or too forceful towards them and you run them off, you know, that may have been the only chance. That's why we have to walk softly. Wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. Yeah. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, or in the spirit of meekness? So Paul had to do some correcting here. In chapter 5, it says here, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might have be taken away from among you. Don't you think he had to walk softly here? He had to hear what the Spirit was saying. For I verily... as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as your unleavened, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. All right, well, let me see where I'm going to quit here on that. What's 1 Corinthians? Okay. To 13. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Well, such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves the wicked person. So whatever we do and whatever God leads us to do, we're going to have to do it in the right manner. this right here in today's world, I don't know what the response would be. Probably not the one that he got. All right. Learning to follow the Spirit in all meekness in every situation is the key to far success. I personally am constantly looking for a connection with the person I'm talking with. If there is no connection, then I don't say anything, don't impart anything. They don't need our aura, do they? No, they need God's. They need to know what God wants them to do. I mean, everybody has their list of advice to give, but is it the right thing to do? Yeah. Jesus came to set the captives free. The religious of his day did not understand this. Many in the church today think the way of the religious of Jesus' day. They think the same way. They wanted him to overthrow the Roman government, raise up God's government, and make Jesus the king. Jesus resisted this at all costs because he said, my kingdom's not of this world. If you wonder about that, look what's going on in Israel. The Rothschilds set up their own kingdom to try to confuse the Christians. That it's going to be a physical kingdom that comes and their government's going to rule over there in that little place. No, it isn't. If we've learned anything, we've learned that, no, this is a spiritual thing. The church is spiritual. It's a spiritual house comprised of Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, male, female, slave, free. So they've lied to us about that, made us think things that aren't correct, made us think, oh, don't you come against them. You know, God will get you for that. People are reading books about it. I'm telling you, people believe this stuff. Most Christians do believe this stuff. Jesus said his kingdom, that's not his kingdom. That's not even the Holy Land. I saw something today. It's actually Palestine. It's not Israel. Israel's not found anywhere. It's made up. Israel is who God called the descendants of Jacob, right? Called him Israel? It's a people. Who's the New Jerusalem? God's people? So all of this has been fabricated. And Christians are getting up in each other's faces over it too. And they're concerned that this is going to be the biggest slap in the face for the church as all disclosure begins to come out and people begin to realize that what they really did over there was take that land right out from under the people that were already on the land for thousands of years, from what I understand. Yeah. All right, let's look at some more scriptures. Matthew 27. In fact, I saw something today, and I had to look it up for myself. It's called the Bellamy Salute. It shows these little kids, and they look like they're back in the 40s. And this is how they saluted the flag, the American flag. Where do you think that come from? It was written by socialists back in the 1800s. And then when World War II come along, and here's the hit, you know, Heil Hitler, I guess we went to this. I never saw that in any history book, did you? All in the whole class, all these little kids. Yeah. Matthew 27. Got that, pulled that up on Free Spoke. It had a lot to say about it. All right, 27:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done.
You're in chapter 26.
Well, that was a good one. 27, sorry. But that works. Did he have to humble himself to go to the cross? Absolutely. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Yeah. These are those religious folk, them lovely religious folk. All right, Matthew 21:5. Jesus wasn't religious. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. They were expecting a king to come in there and take out the Roman government. I'm telling you, that's what they were expecting. In fact, some say that's what they why they believe Judas betrayed him, because that's what he thought. Are you now going to overthrow the Romans and set up your kingdom? Yeah, exactly. All right, John 6:15. This is again what I read a while ago. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. My point today is this. We are vessels to be used of the Lord. God gives us revelation, but it's not just to go around giving our 2 cents worth of anything. It's to be used of God so he can flow through us to bring his message to whoever we meet. And that's the way Jesus operated his ministry. He said, I don't do anything independently. People say, well, Jesus, he did all these miracles and stuff. Well, no, he said, the Father in me doeth the works. Right? We don't have anything without Father. Right? All right. All right. Just as Jesus resisted this, so must we. Okay, Luke chapter 4. What is an ambassador of Christ? That you are a representative of him. You represent him. Luke 4:18. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. So right here he tells you what his mission is. That's our mission, too. Take the gospel. Take the kingdom. It grieves me to say this, but it is the truth. So many Christians don't care about setting the captives free. They are sitting on their suitcases and waiting for the rapture to happen, or waiting for the tribunals to happen. Jesus said to occupy till he comes. Be occupied with what? Same thing he was occupied with, setting captives free. Jesus is our example in humility. I mean, if he had to submit to the Father and not go independent of him, how much more so do we have to, you know? All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Little kids don't get rattled about anything. They're innocent. All right, we need to follow his example and only speak what the Spirit says to speak. If we add to it, we're just in the flesh. Right? It is not about us and how much we know. It's about setting the captives free by the Spirit of God. We should never waste an opportunity. Like I said, what? The Lord brings somebody across your path and, you know, maybe that's the last time you ever see them, or maybe, you know, who knows? You don't know Yeah. All right, Matthew 23. That's why we always got to be looking inside to see what's going on there. All right, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now he's talking to the hypocrites here, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. How they love to be seen. Well, I better read that. But why do you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, if you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that ye are entering to go in. Why do you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Why do you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Kind of like the woman that was all bound in the temple and Jesus loosed her on the Sabbath day, and the religious leaders are griping at him because he loosed her on the Sabbath day. He broke the law, but they never did anything on any day to help anybody. Yet they're supposed to be the church leaders? Think not. All right, now go over to James chapter 4. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted in mourning and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and also the power and equipment to do ministry. He gives us that grace to do whatever he is requiring of us to do. Even though it's not about how you feel. It's not about how you feel. If you do stuff because you feel like doing it, would you ever do anything? All right. 1 Peter 5. Starting with verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Just think about it. If we stayed in the state of humility about certain things, pride wouldn't come in. What is pride? Well, I want to be seen. I want them to see me doing that, or whatever the case may be. It says he resists the proud. See, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. All right, humbled right there means to depress or humiliate. In other words, just, you know, you don't call attention to yourself. You wait till God calls on you and let him give you the message or the word to speak. It's not our agenda. This is God's show. All right, Philippians chapter 2. This is just to help us stay in the right attitude, you know, because there's a lot of boastful stuff going on out there in the world and, you know, a lot of voices saying a lot of things. You know, the only one I want to know, the only voice really I want to hear is one that God's inputting, you know. All right, 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not for his own glory, it says for the glory of God the Father. Yeah, God has filled us with a storehouse of revelation to be revealed at the right time. All right, Matthew 7, 6. I've got just about three more scriptures. Matthew 7, 6. Right here. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. See, a lot of people won't appreciate what you know. All right, with that, go to 2 Timothy 4. Verse 2. Here, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. In other words, be ready to do, be in season. Stay in season. So God can lead you. God has filled us with a storehouse of revelation to be revealed at the right time. We should become representatives of Jesus by doing a lot of listening and a lot less talking. Our goal is to follow the Holy Spirit, look for a connection, allow the Holy Spirit to bring that pearl of great price out of our inner storehouse to give to the one in need. All right, one more. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. All right. That's it.